And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, devotional diamond of the day. Water, water, everywhere. Ooh. Also, wake up, God. Wake up. Get up. Look at, are you kidding me? And then we'll close it out with, who is in charge?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. Did I tell you that my kids went out of town, going out of town again, and we once again are watching the dog? I think they're doing this on purpose so that we'll actually just take the dog and they're not telling us. It is my son. He could be a master at this. Got to think about that. Anyway, so much more going on. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'm going to take a short break, but stand by.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent way to go about that. Don't forget KPRZ.com, having the different events, half-price tuition, and just different things on there that are just worthwhile as we continue to ramp up. We had a really good meeting on Friday on our Crazy Price Mall website, and everybody has made a commitment to add more businesses. If you just think about it, if you're a business and you're like, I'd love to advertise on radio, but I don't have any cash out of pocket, we have a program that's a no cash out of pocket advertising program. I mean, come on. Where you do a trade for whatever you have or services, and that trade gets traded into value, and we sell it on Crazy Price Mall, but the whole point is that you get that trade value, so you don't have to come out of dollar pocket. It's really a great, great program. If you want more information, send me an email, davidspoon at kprz.com. This is one of my absolute favorite talks, and I have had the opportunity to do this about six times in my life. And you think, well, what do you mean? You give a sermon and you repeat it? Yes, I actually try to follow what Jesus did. Jesus taught on love more than once. There you go. And on faith more than once, and on Satan more than once, and on sin more than once, and on the kingdom, there's about 15 parables. So, I mean, you can get what's going on there. This is, though, one of my favorite. This title is called Water, Water Everywhere. What do we have for a sound for Water, Water Everywhere?
Dry land is not a myth! I've seen it! Kevin Costner, Waterworld. I don't know what all the fuss is about! I saw that movie six times! It rules!
Dry land is not a myth. I love it.
Great stuff. All right, let's pick it up. Mark chapter 4. Now, if you are inclined to read your Bible as we go through one of these, this is going to be one of those that you'll be able to jump to a portion and stay there for a while. It's coming out of the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 35. This is what it says. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Let's stop right there. For those that are unfamiliar with water terminology, as I am, the phrase furious squall means a whirlwind or a small hurricane. I do not know all of the nautical elements, nor am I going to pretend to know all of the elements. Here is what I can figure out. With Jesus are his disciples, of which at least four are fishermen who know what water is like. If they're freaking out, everybody else should be freaking out. I remember one time I was flying in a plane. I had my business partner next to me, and we're ready to land in New York. And before we get there, we hit a large amount of turbulence, whatever that is. And back then, it wasn't quite the same on the phones. And my phone, which was kind of laying in front of me, was jettisoning up towards the top of the ceiling on the plane. That's not what bothered me. You know what bothered me? We were in the second to last seat in the back of the plane. Do you know who was behind us? Two stewardesses. Do you know what bothered me? When she screamed. That's what bothered me. Why? Because she flies all the time, and for her to scream made me feel very uncomfortable. So my point is, if the fishermen are thinking this is bad, it's probably bad. So this water is coming. It's an experience of massive storms. And what do we typically do is the first thing when we go through, when we're going through life, is we sit there and try and figure out if we're going through a hard time, a difficult time, a storm, so to speak, well, are we still in the will? I mean, isn't that what you want to know? I just want to make sure I'm in the will of God. Am I still in the will? I just want to make sure we understand from Scripture that these guys were with Jesus, and Jesus goes, get in the boat. They get in the boat. He goes, let's go over to the other side. They're going over to the other side. Then the water and the waves come. These guys could not possibly be in the will anymore, the will of God any more than they were. It's impossible. But just because they're in the will of God does not mean there's a void of storms. That's what you got to understand. There is nowhere, nowhere in Scripture where you get this notion, well, I'm in the will of God, so nothing will ever happen. Okay, well, it was the will of God for Jesus to be crucified. So you can already just take that one and throw it to the side. So push it down. Were they in the will of God? Of course. But let's be honest. You're on a boat. You're with Jesus. You got fishermen as part of your crew. Let's say you're one of the 12, but not one of the fishermen. The Scripture says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Other boats with him. A furious squall comes up. Waves are breaking over the boat. So can you at least just picture the waves crashing in, right? These are waves that are not, this is not wavy. This is waves going in the boat. Like they're crashing in the boat, curling in the boat. And the Scripture says, so that it was nearly swamped, which leads me to believe that those waves were pounding in so heavy that the boat was going lower. I mean, I would think. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I just want to say, I remember preaching this in Phoenix, Arizona, Brian Anderson's Vineyard Church. I will share a story that happened to me. I was younger then, much. One day I was sleeping, taking a rare nap. My beautiful, wonderful young daughter came into my room and couldn't figure out how to wake me up. So she took her two fingers and stuck them in my nose and rattled my head back and forth. Dad, wake up! I want to give you the expression that I used at the moment, but cannot because the station cannot afford the fine. But I will say that when you're sleeping and somebody wakes you up, there is a moment that you need to gain consciousness to get yourself together. What I want you to envision, though, is the disciples going back to where Jesus is. The boat is being swamped. That's the word the Scripture uses, swamped. It's going down. The waves are breaking over. They go back in there. And where is Jesus? He's sleeping on the cushion. Now, I will say if it was me, I would not have taken my fingers and put them in Jesus' nose and shook his head back and forth. However, I am pretty sure from the entry point of where he was, the doorway or whatever cubbyhole he was in, to me getting to him, he would have heard my voice asking a few questions like, why are you sleeping? That would have been like the first question. And this is a wonderful mirror to our lives with God as we go through the winds and the waves are curling into our boat. And our boat is swamping, and we're like, God, are you sleeping? Because that is how it feels sometimes, as though the Lord is sleeping while the boat is sinking. Now tell me I'm wrong. Just be honest. It's like, Mr. Jesus, it's time for you to get up. Because we're going to die. I mean, it's like there's this intensity where you know what you're going through is so intense for you. And then there's the Lord. He's sleeping over there. It's like, wait, doesn't he know what's going on? So when we get back, I want to cover that because Jesus is sleeping on the cushion. And you know what? They are going to wake him up because you want to know what? They're afraid for their lives. Let's see if they would have done anything different than you and I. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
This is John MacArthur with another edition of Portraits of Grace. Christian love is not provoked, wrote Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:5. It doesn't respond in anger to offenses committed against it. Such graciousness is uncommon in our society, which teaches us to fight for our personal rights and retaliate when we don't get what we think we deserve. As a Christian, you must resist such influences by focusing on your spiritual duty rather than your rights. If you expect nothing from the world, then you won't be angered or disappointed when nothing comes. Remember, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, so humble yourself before Him and let Him exalt you at the proper time. This is John MacArthur, looking forward to bringing you more Portraits of Grace.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh."
I wonder if you've ever really given that scripture verse some thought. Here's Ted Cunningham on Focus on the Family Minute.
Most of the time we look at that verse as a marriage verse, but the first half of that verse is parenting. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother." In other words, it's the job of a parent to make sure a child leaves home as an adult, not on a journey to become one. That's the most important thing. Biggest mistake I think we make as parents today is we treat our children like children right up until the very moment we expect them to be an adult. And so for me, it's not academics, it's not athletics that raise our children into adults, it's parents. And it doesn't say for this reason a child leaves his mom and dad. It doesn't say for this reason an adolescent leaves his mom and dad. It says an adult.
When you parent with the end in mind, you'll do a better job preparing your child for adulthood. More from Ted today at FamilyMinute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
In my heart there are tears, so I come to you, my friend. And now I'm asking you again.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're talking about water, water everywhere. Right to our DDD. I hope this is helpful for you. It's been helpful for me the couple of times that I reviewed it. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but a lot of times when teaching takes place, whether you lead a Bible study or you're just participating in a Bible study, you know, somebody who's sharing or speaking, it's not like they're void of receiving. You get to hear it yourself, and I always find it encouraging. This is one of those communications I find really, really encouraging because I think I operate here, and you're going to find out in the next segment how close you and I are to the disciples. You're going to find out you're so close to the disciples where they could have pictures of 12 portraits up on the wall. You could be the 13th portrait. All right, 11 portraits. Well, they did replace what's with Matthias. But that's not the point. The point is, you can be up there. You'll see in a second. So we were talking about the scripture. The day when evening came, He said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Here's what the next verse says. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, that'd be the wind, be still, that'd be the waves. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So let's just take that moment, because we have that time, just to paint that picture, as we already talked about. They're in this boat. There are fishermen in this boat who know what a bad storm is. This is a bad storm. It's a mini hurricane. It's a little whirlwind thing going on. And Jesus is sleeping in the back. And you're just like, are you kidding? You're sleeping? You're sleeping in the back of the boat? Which is how many of us think God operates when we're dealing with them. Again, we did deal with those that think, well, if you're in the perfect will of God, winds don't come. You don't really have a lot of storms. You don't really have a lot of waves. That's rubbish. We already know that's ridiculous. So the disciples, they go to wake him up. And I'm going to go with, and tell me if you might agree with me. You might disagree with me, but I'm going to go with they didn't go over to Jesus and go, Jesus, Jesus, it's time to wake up, Jesus. Nappy, nappy over. I'm going to go out on a limb and just believe that they didn't wake Jesus up the way that you would wake up your four-year-old. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they didn't wake Jesus up a way that you would wake up your grandchild. I'm going to attempt to not add biblical material, but to put myself in the situation where they are in the room, the boat is swamped, and they're trying to get Jesus to wake up. So I'm just going to give myself that liberty to say that they perhaps were freaking out a little. I don't think they stroked Jesus's face and whispered to him calmly and said, Jesus, wake up. I think they were screaming at the top of their lungs, get up, we're drowning, because that's what any other person would do. I mean, how do you not? And look at what they say. Teacher, don't you care? And that is the line that you and I will use. We will be in a trial and a struggle and a storm, and we'll look at God and we'll like go, don't you care I'm going through this? As though he's sleeping and doesn't know how to be God. Now, how is this not just like us? This is a lot like us. And then they ask him this question. They say, don't you care? Don't you care? I'm going through such a hard time. Hey, I got a message for you. The Lord cares. He doesn't freak out like you do. He doesn't freak out like I do, but he cares. I mean, he's our heavenly Father, and he cares how we're doing. But we do get a little, you know, I don't want to use that Yiddish word. We get a little, you know, helicopter. We get a little like, bleh! Like we freak out. And then he gets up, and I'm going to go with this. He was sleeping, right? That's what scripture says. And if he's sleeping on a boat that's rocking back and forth with waves crashing, I think he's tired. I don't think it's a stretch. And so I imagine he gets up and he doesn't get up right away and just goes, here I am to save the day. You know, it's probably not like Mighty Mouse where he gets up and I think he gets up and he's groggy and just like, does anybody remember he's a human being? Maybe a little bit more like us, and maybe not that happy because of what's going on. And so then he's going to go after the winds and the waves. And at this point, you got disciples freaking out, lots of noise, right? People yelling at him, and the wind is howling, and the waves are crashing into the boat. And Jesus gets up, and he gets up, and he rebukes the wind and said to the waves, quiet and be still. And I always like this because quiet was for the wind. Have you ever been in a place where the wind is howling? It's loud, right? It's howling. It's a little scary. It's a little intimidating. And you're like, whoa, whoa. Right? So he says, okay, wind, you need to be quiet. You're making too much noise, which apparently the wind has a volume button that Jesus is allowed to push. And then he tells the waves, be still. Have you ever been in the ocean? Have you ever seen waves go back and forth? You know what waves never really do when there's a lot of waves? They never just immediately stop. They dissipate. They stop slowly, and the 4 foot becomes a 3 foot, the 3 foot becomes a 2 foot, the 2 foot becomes a 1 foot, right? Not in this case. Jesus is like, okay, you, Mr. Wind, okay, you be quiet. And you, Mr. Wave, you stop moving. That's enough, all of you. Now, who gets to do that? Who gets to tell the wind and the waves, I've had enough of you? That's it. Now, you're the disciples. You're fearing for your life. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of things going on. And then all of a sudden, it's like this. Dead calm. Would that get your attention?
I'm just curious if you would think, huh.
But then the most amazing thing of all these teachings we can come together on, the most amazing thing, after Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, after the quiet and the be still, after the stop the noise and stop the turmoil, I think one of the great teachings of Jesus comes to us. The scripture says, after it was completely calm, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Now, my thought process is, why are you asking me that question? Why am I afraid? Well, let's see. I'm in a boat. The waves are crashing in the boat. The boat is submerging. You're sleeping. The wind is howling. The waves are crashing. And we're going to die. And you want to know why I'm afraid. You see, I think it's fair to ask these type of questions when you're reviewing scripture. Because if you were on that boat, let me ask you a question. Would you have been afraid? Would you have had some fear? Would you have had the same kind of response the disciples had? And it's one of the reasons that I love identifying with the disciples. I would have done just what they did. I don't think I would have done one thing different. I would have went in there screaming, saying, why are you going to let me drown? Where are you? What's going on? I think it's almost proof positive I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I would have been doing it much the same way that they did it. I would have been like going, are you kidding? I'm afraid. And then Jesus says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? When we come back, we'll answer why he asked that question. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
A first century BC Roman politician who went by the name of Sallust was an oppressive ruler for Rome in North Africa. It comes as no surprise that he said, necessity makes even the timid brave. There is truth in his observation. I mean, think of the number of normally reserved people who boldly approached Jesus of Nazareth in search of a miracle for themselves, a friend, or a family member. In an hour of crisis, we are far more likely to become bold and brave. Fortunately, the Bible invites us to come boldly into God's presence to seek mercy and help in our time of need. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's mercy and help on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the cost of freedom.
Freedom is not free. There's a high price that comes with that freedom. And, I found a lot of churches even are kind of getting away from recognizing these holidays. You know, I think it's important that we keep, you know, there's a separation between the kingdom of God and, you know, this kingdom, this world in which we live. But I believe a good Christian is a good citizen. And we have a responsibility and obligation to be a part of both. And I think these holidays, when we look at the freedoms that we have and how we got them and how we maintain them, I think it's important that we stop, we pause, and recognize those who have sacrificed.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yeah, give you a quick check on the weather. All right, so if you want to reach me, David Spoon at KPR, it was quick. Do you want to do it again? Okay,
please.
If you want to reach me, wait, I'll do it one more time. If you want to reach me, you can just send an email, David Spoon. I did it three times. That's enough. Reach me, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We've been talking about water everywhere. Actually, a interesting imagery for us to understand that sometimes you go through storms in life. So we're using the storm sequence that the disciples went with Jesus in, and how in the very beginning of it, he was sleeping in the back or sleeping in the stern. And that the disciples woke him up and they were freaking out. And Jesus gets up and he, you know, tells the wind and the waves, hey, take a break. Everybody take a break. Then he turns to his disciples and he said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, I've heard a lot of teachings on this. I'll say I think John Wimber's teaching was one of the best that I've ever heard. But, you know, it is a legitimate point to say when Jesus said, why are you so afraid, for us to go, are you kidding? I'm drowning. I'm drowning, or I feel like I'm drowning. Now, they weren't drowning. They weren't dying. But I will say they probably felt that way, right? They felt like the pressure of the situation was really bad and they didn't really know how to handle it. And it was overwhelming. Jesus, of course, as always for believers coming to the rescue, right? But then he says, where is your faith? And the reason that that's important is right here in the next verse. I'm going to show you some. After Jesus said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And that, my friends, is the entire lesson. The reason that Jesus said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Is not because they were expected to function as these perfect Christians, perfect disciples, but that they had been hanging out with Jesus and they needed to answer this one question for their circumstance. And this is the same question that you need to answer, and the same question that I need to answer, and the same question that Tugboat Todd needs to answer in every circumstance. And that is,
Who is this that we're dealing with? And the answer to that question is, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who this is. That's the one element that when Jesus rebuked him, challenged them. I mean, you would just think, well, what do you mean? How could we not be afraid? It was Jesus who said to those disciples this, let us go over to the other side. Do you know what let us go over to the other side means? It means they were going to go from side A to side B. It means that they were going to get from point A to point B because the Son of the living God said, we're going to go from here and we're going to go to there. Now, if that boat would have sunk, they would have went over as a submarine because Jesus, the Son of God, said, we're going from here to there. And if they would have understood who it was who said, we're going from here to there, they would have not been as afraid, and they would have had more faith. And that's what happens in every one of our circumstances that we face, that we fight, that we look at. We must ask this question, who is this that we're dealing with, and answer with the affirmative, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if he said we're doing something, we're doing it. And no circumstance, no situation, no wave, no wind, no debt, no money, no credit, no failure is ever going to stop Jesus Christ getting accomplished what he wants to accomplish. And if you're in that boat with Jesus and he said, we're going over to the other side, it wouldn't have mattered if all the whales in the world would have come at one time and tried to swallow them. They were still going to the other side because it was Jesus who said, we're going over there. And that's where we fail. That's where we lose our faith. That's where we don't maintain. That's where we become afraid. And I want to make sure you understand this. In its fullness, listen to this in Philippians 2, 8 through 11. And having been found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's who this is. That's it. When we are like going, well, how are we not? How are we supposed to have faith? How are we supposed to believe? Because of who we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a prophet. Oh, he's a prophet. He's a really good moral teacher. He's the Son of the living God, part of creation, part of the creation process before there was a creation process. He is the I Am. That's who you're dealing with. That was God in that boat. I think that boat was getting there. And what Jesus was upset about is they didn't recognize who he was. They were missing the power and the authority that resides with Jesus. And when you're going through your circumstance, it could be super tough and you could feel like Jesus is sleeping in the stern. But I got a message for you. That sleeping in the stern Jesus, that's God. And he's with you. And that boat was going to get to its destination. If it had to break apart and come back together 1,000 times, wouldn't have mattered. Because God said, we're going over there. Here's where we're going. And Satan could have jumped up and down, and your bank account can go up and down, and your health can go up and down. If God said you're going, you're going. And if he needs to raise you from the dead to get you over there, he will. Because he doesn't care. You can't limit God like that. Our God is fantastic. He's almighty. Have you ever considered what the word almighty means? It means all and mighty. Put it together. That's who you have dealing with you in your situations. And don't give me the, well, he's so busy. Well, actually, if he's God, he's not too busy. That's the whole point. Well, my issue is a really small issue. Well, let's see, smaller than the number of hairs on your head? Because he has that count going too. And if you get older, like me, you start losing them. So he gets to go minus. If you're younger, you get to go plus for a little while. This is who we deal with. This is who we are engaged with. This is when Jesus rebukes him, it's not because of anything other than they are not recognizing who this is. Do you know what Jesus is going to do not long from this point right here? Watch this. He's going to get up from being dead. Ooh, that's major. Yeah. This is whom we deal with. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. And so when we get to that point and you're not sure, you know, it's like, oh, and I'm having a crisis of faith, Dave, or I'm having a moment where fear is overtaking me. It's the answer in every one of these situations is recognizing who is this that we're dealing with. The critical key in having an active faith is answering the question, who is this Jesus? That's it. And that explains why the disciples should not have been afraid because of who it was who was with them in the boat. And you think, well, I don't know if I can. You have to. Every time. You have to do that. You have to function in a way where you understand that he who is in the boat is God. And he said, we're going over here, and you are going over there. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to sit there and suffer. You don't need to operate in a lack of faith. I know I have typical absentee faith too. I have it too. Don't get me wrong. But I don't have to have it. Sometimes I foolishly choose to have it. Has Jesus ever let you down? Well, what? He's just going to start all of a sudden? Okay, no, I'm going to do it. Come on. You think he's asleep. He's not. He's going to get you to the destination. That was his commitment, and it will never change. Take a short break and come back and wrap this up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
To live forever, we must let Jesus live in us now.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Tim Gustafson. Tim writes, "I went from the horse and buggy to a man walking on the moon," said the elderly man to his granddaughter, who shared this story with me recently. But then he mused, "I never thought it would be so short." Life is short, and many of us turn to Jesus because we want to live forever. That's not bad, but we don't comprehend what eternal life really is. We tend to crave the wrong things. We long for something better, and we think it's just ahead. If only I were out of school. If only I had that job. If only I were married. If only I could retire. If only, and then one day we catch an echo of our grandfather's voice as we wonder where the time has flown. Tim continues, "The truth is, we possess eternal life now. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Then he said in verse 5, "Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." In other words, our desires change when we come to Christ. This naturally gives us what we most desire. Verse 6 says, "The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." It's one of life's great lies that we need to be somewhere else, doing something else, with someone else, before we start truly living. When we find our life in Jesus, we exchange regret over life's brevity for the full enjoyment of life with Him, both now and forever. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Reminder that if you want to get some of the events taking place in the community, kprz.com. Don't forget about crazypricemall.com, which has some opportunities for you to get things off at a great discount. We think that's pretty cool. We have been talking this entire hour about water, water everywhere, how we get into situations, storms, we're in the boat and there's a storm and there's waves are breaking over and it feels just like they were sharing back in Matthew or Mark chapter 4 where Jesus seems like he's just asleep and doesn't know what's going on. Where are you, Lord? We need you to step up for us. And the disciples go and wake him up like, don't you care? And Jesus gets up and rebukes the wind and the waves, and then ask the disciples why they're so afraid. And you'd think, well, why would he ask that question? And that's because they did not recognize who they were walking with, journeying with, being discipled by. They did not recognize Jesus as Lord. And they're still learning that process, which is why they say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Well, you know who the wind and the waves obey? God. That's who. So you got God in the boat. I think the odds are good.
It's a good hour. If you're going to look at it that way, it's like, go with that one.
Right? But just because we want to make sure you understand how that process goes, I just want you to kind of get this feel from the scriptural element. I want you to hear this portion in Ephesians 1:18. It's just so fantastic. If you will just recognize how Jesus stands in authority, and this was the dude that was in the boat, but listen to how Ephesians 1:18-23 described Jesus. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the sake of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's the guy that was in the boat. Like, wow. Right? That's the guy that was in the boat. That's the guy that's in your boat on your journey. That's the guy that's going to get you to the place. The ultimate destination being heaven. And no, the journey is not more important than the destination, because as Bible-believing born-again Christians, one destination is hell and the other is heaven. But during the journey, Jesus is on the boat. And there is no wind and no waves and no swamping or no power that is greater than the power of Jesus Christ. And he's with you. He's for you, so to speak. Now, he, again, and we said this before, he's not with you. You know, everybody's going to gather around behind you. He's going to be with you because we're just going to follow what you say. He's with you in the sense of he's not opposed to you. He's lifting you up. He's strengthening you. You're technically with him, is how you should think of it. But the idea to for us to miss answering that question misses a great opportunity for us to operate in faith. You must answer this question in the circumstance, whether you're dealing with people, whether you're dealing with work, whether you're dealing with money, whether you're dealing with spouses, whether you're dealing with situations. You must answer this question. Who is this in the boat with me? It's Jesus, the Son of the living God. Time fails me to tell you what Revelation says, but I'll just read this one short little thing. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. I turned and saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. And oh, by the way, I'm the guy in your boat." How about that? Like, okay, I'll take that guy all day long. That's why your circumstance isn't bigger. That's why it's not as more. That's why Jesus in the boat, that's why you don't go down. That's it. I mean, it's so powerful when you deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Peter was able to get out of a boat in a different circumstance and walk on the water. What I'm trying to say is that you are not alone. The waves and the wind may be howling. They may be crashing in. You might not understand how God is doing his process, but he's right there with you. And because you can know this one thing, that he who is on that boat with you, the Son of the living God, has made a commitment to be with you, to stand with you, and to strengthen you. You don't got to be afraid. You can have faith. Because there is no circumstance, no situation, no frustration, no dream, no future that's more powerful than Jesus Christ. This is not a spokesman for God. This is God. There's a big difference. And we need to understand the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. He's with you. In the boat, the waves and the wind don't have a chance. But you do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.